everybody.
Want to learn more about a guest you heard on the radio?
Maybe you're out fishing and missed an episode. Want to catch up? Well, now you can. Facebook.com/Fishin' Canada to learn more about your favorite outdoor shows, Fishin' Canada Television, and Outdoor Journal Radio. Search the archive and download hundreds of radio episodes.
Like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at ODJ Radio.
And, of course, listen live, the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. More than ever, your definitive guide to the great outdoors.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie, complete with his Fishin' Canada, new Fishin' Canada hat.
Yes.
Looks very, you look handsome in that.
It actually fits me.
And it looks very nice.
Yeah.
It unfortunately covers the beautiful hair potential under there. But then again, you know, like you said, it's don't want to waste good materials like water and soap and stuff. If you don't need
hair products. Let me just clarify, hair products.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you don't need to, like, why waste it if you don't need to?
Hey, it's only me and you in the studio. There's no anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. God forbid should we take the extra time to get, you know, completely.
Well, you see my fro every Monday to Friday, so one day out of the week is fine.
All right. No comment on that. We'll leave it at that. The world's deadliest pathogen on record devastates more than 500 amphibian species, and we don't know how to stop it. That was the headline that was all across outdoor media channels this past week. And it's interesting when you start looking into it. A lot of us, even those of us who are deeply entrenched in the outdoors, sometimes miss these headlines, and we don't get the full story. So this one we needed to follow up on, obviously. I personally have noticed over the last several years, we just don't have the sightings of frogs along shoreline that we used to have when I was a kid growing up. Yeah. And I know it's been a long, slow process, but it just seems the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years that it's really been noticeable. And the same could be said about toads and salamanders, for that matter, and crayfish, as you pointed out, Stephen, earlier on in the program. But sometimes we just don't. We say, I wonder where they all went, but we don't look into it. Well, today's story might shed a bit of light on this issue for you. Joining us is Dr. David Lesberrieres, and he's the associate professor and acting dean of graduate studies, Department of Biology at Laurentian University in Sudbury. He's going to talk to us about that very subject. Good morning, doctor. How are you? Hello, doctor.
Good morning, Angelo. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you there. How badly did I pronounce your name?
Not that bad. I mean, I've been in Canada for 15 years from France, so I've heard various version of my name, and it's all good.
Right then. So did I pretty much sum that up correctly? We've all probably noticed a decline of most of the amphibian life around the shorelines over the last, I've noticed it for at least a decade, but certainly the last 5 years, it's been more evident. Is that how long this has been going on?
Yes, there's been a decline noticed for probably 40 years now. There are several issues. I mean, the water quality is changing. We also remove a lot of the wetlands that those animals used to occupy. Recently, since the early 2000s, we are really working on that pathogen, that fungus that you mentioned earlier.
And it's been this is what's been going on for 40 years. This pathogen, this DB, as it's called, or BD, I guess, is this the cause?
It is a major cause. It's probably more important than the other factors I mentioned earlier. It's actually, we find it on all the continent except Antarctica. So it's really everywhere, spreading fast and affecting all kinds of species. 500, as you mentioned, are in decline. We probably think 90 of them have disappeared completely because of that fungus.
Wow. Now, David, I'm no scientist by any means, but I do know that nature is full of fungi and bacteria and all that stuff. Why is this one so deadly? Why? I mean, we've got them all around us all the time. What makes this one so bad?
We do, and some are good. I had a really good mushroom soup last night for dinner, but that fungus, it's more of the one that there's a disease called the athlete's foot disease that people get fungus between their toes. It's kind of a related of that one. So it goes into the skin of the frogs and toads, and it's changed completely the balance of their blood, and that's what caused their death.
And to what degree should we be alarmed here at this point, especially here in Ontario, in this part of the world? To what degree are we, you know, at the amber stage? Are we at the red stage with this stuff?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I've followed and surveyed several populations of frogs from Windsor to James Bay. I found it pretty much everywhere in different levels. Some populations are very infected. Some are not that much. We found it in all the species, whether it's the wood frog, the leopard frogs, the toads, and also the salamanders. But it seems to do relatively okay in Ontario. We've never seen sort of a population completely go extinct. So either the host, those amphibians we have here are relatively tolerant to the fungus compared to other species in the world, or maybe the strain of the fungus, so the variety of that fungus here is not as virulent. It's hard to tell, but it seems that they are declining, but not as fast as in other places.
Now, it's no secret that as anglers, we've relied on the frog for catching fish. I mean, whether it was a real deal. I mean, as a kid, I used to use frogs for bait. Whether it was the real deal or artificial lures, we make them resemble frogs because fish consume them at a large quantity. Now, should we be worried about that? Two factors there. Number one, if the amphibian life along our shallow back bays and stuff is declining, that would also mean that the food source for the fish is altering. And secondly, can this disease be transferred to fish if they consume frogs that have got BD?
So short answer is yes and yes. I mean, every time we touch or the biodiversity around us is affected, we disrupt whatever is above the predators. So in that case, yes, the muskies and the other fish that are eating the frogs, but also all the prey that the frogs are eating. So we can predict that there'd be a huge increase in bugs and particularly mosquitoes if those frogs are disappearing. So it's really a problem if that layer of the environment is declining, and particularly for fish, as you mentioned. The spread of the disease is probably has been affected by the habit of using frog as a bait. Right. We looked at pet stores in southern Ontario, and the concentration of the fungus is a lot higher, also probably because the immune systems of the frogs when they are in like huge numbers in buckets is pretty low. So the ministry actually, following a study from one of my students about 10 years ago, changed the rules. We used to be able to bring frogs from all over, catch them in anywhere, and bring them to the most pristine location in northern Ontario. And that's not allowed anymore. You can still use frog as bait, but you have to catch them in the lake or the pond you're going to fish in. You can't transport right. them from place to place. So at least it sort of localized the disease. If the frogs you're catching are sick, they will remain in the same place as opposed to bringing the disease somewhere else.
And has this shown up in fish at all, this BD?
No, there's no effect on fish. We found it in crayfish. There's some studies showing that your crayfish can carry the fungus, and they show also a high level of mortality. But fish so far don't seem to be affected at all by the fungus themselves.
Okay, well that's a good sign. Now, you know, and I don't want to downplay this by any stretch at all, but you know, Mother Nature has a way of taking care of things, and we really notice it when we have invasive species moving into a water column, you know, such as the zebra mussel did some 25 years ago, such as the goby, all of these unwanted new species moving into a body of water. Mother Nature has a way of leveling things out and putting things in balance over time. Is there a chance that we may not be talking about this, say, in 10, 15 years from now?
It's hard to tell. We discovered that there are actually other species of fungus that may come to Canada that have been discovered in salamanders in Europe. So as the pet trade increases and people are bringing animals over borders, we might bring a cousin of that serial killers. But what's interesting that we are working on, there are some species that are totally tolerant with it. They seem to have families of bacteria on their skin that prevent the fungus to encroach in the skin. So they just grow their life, and they don't seem to be affected, and they don't seem to carry the disease. So will there be a turnover of species, and the one that are tolerant and resistant will remain in the environment, and we're going to keep losing a few? Is this sort of immunity going to pass on into the environment, as you mentioned, through Mother Nature? It's hard to tell at this time whether we're going to see more problems or if it's going to, we're going to forget about it in 10, 20 years. But certainly at the moment, we are going downwards rather than upwards in our hopes to for the frogs and toads.
Just had a thought, David. Is there still, and I'm sorry I don't know this, but I'll ask it, sound like an idiot asking you, but is there a
commercial? There's no idiot questions. I always tell my students.
Is there a commercial frog trade in this part of the world? Do we have a commercial entity that uses frogs?
Not so much for the outdoors. There is frogs that are bred mostly for scientific research. There's a lot of use of certain type of frogs for medical research in particular. But for the outdoors, no. It's mostly casuals, people, yes, as I say, catch frogs and use them as bait, but it's not really an industrial need, neither for restaurants as well. That's not very common in Canada.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I know, you know, you can find frogs in some restaurants, frog legs. Is there any chance of this being moved on to the food chain for humans?
No, this fungus only affect cold-blooded animals. So okay. Anything warm, such as like birds and us, we are totally fine.
Perfect. Okay. Sounds fantastic. Where can folks get more information on your studies?
So there's a couple of papers that are that's been published in National Geographic and others. On my website, there's a couple of information on it. It's a problem that people, as you mentioned, are not aware. I'm really glad you invited me to talk to the public here. But we continue spreading the words through various journals, and as I mentioned, National Geographic covers it regularly as well as Canadian Geographic.
Perfect. We'll keep an eye on you, and please drop back in when you have more news on this.
I will do, for sure.
Dr. David Liberer. I never did get him to pronounce it for us.
No.
Liberer is from the Laurentian University in Sudbury, doing this wonderful study on a fascinating subject. I know I personally have seen it decline, and I've also seen frogs that have got this disease, and it's not very nice, I'll tell you that. And it also has, I used to love using them as live bait, by the way.
Well, they are good bait.
You could buy them. You could buy frogs at a bait store.
I remember.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do not.
No, I'm not kidding you. We had one down the street.
You're just
from
saying
us.
That.
No. I'm not kidding you.
All right. I want to remind folks who are just tuning in the Great Mercury Outboard Motor Giveaway. It's on its final leg for the first leg. How's that? Final legs of the first leg. It's all about legs.
One
here.
Of the frog legs.
And not to be confused with frog legs, but which are delicious, by the way. Never Have you ever had frog legs?
Never tried it.
All right.